Don't just bow our heads and say, I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. To please Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. As the word of God is coming forth this evening, I receive my portion in it. And I manifest my appropriate results to the glory of the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. This is our school of prayer, as you know. And what we are doing all the time is teaching people how to pray. I say it all the time. The Lord Jesus told us in the book of Luke chapter 18, He said men ought always to pray and not to get tired. And when He says that, He tells us that prayer is very crucial in life. And my experience is that Christians, at least in this season that we are in, they don't understand enough of how to pray. And that's why the Lord led us to begin to teach this school of prayer, so that people will learn how to pray. What I want to start again discussing today, all right, the new series is titled How to Pray for Your Loved Ones. All right, what did I call it? Yes, how to pray for the people that you love. There is a how to everything. There is a how. Sometimes we do things that are not appropriate and we don't get results and therefore we are discouraged. I said earlier, the Bible says there is a proper procedure for every event. The way you pray for people you love is very different from the way you pray for things that don't directly concern you, like you pray for a country. It's different from how you pray for yourself. Do you follow? All right, so we have to learn the one that is proper. Let me just start with a particular scriptural reference, and that will help us. Let's start reading from the book of 1 John chapter 5. I'll still say some things as a way of introduction, but let's just read this like a text with which we are going to start. 1 John chapter 5, and I'll read from verse 16. Well, let's just back up to verse 14. And then verse 16 is what we need, but let's back up to verse 14, and then we'll run down to verse 16 that we really want to get something from. It says that this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. In verse 16, it says, and that's why I'm reading this. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. He said, there is a sin leading to death. John says, I do not say that he should make request for this. All unrighteousness, he says, is sin. And there is a sin not leading to death. You know, I've said it again and again here before, that not every command, that the commandments don't all carry the same weight. I've said that before. There are things that Jesus will tell you are the weightier matters of the law. All right? There are things that He said they are not heavy matters of the law. Just by the way, should I get go to that one? Let me just digress slightly. When the Lord made that statement, it was when He was criticizing them for tithing, mint, dill, and cumin, that is, those are vegetables, all right? He said, you have neglected those things. He said, this you should have done without neglecting the weightier matters of the law. What He was saying to them is that those tithing things that they were doing now, just for emphasis, that was Old Testament, that was under the law. He was speaking to those who were under the law. He said, these were matters of the law, all right? He was trying to emphasize to them that even under the law, things had different weights. I'm just trying to bring out something that, you know, the way we in Christianity behave today, even if we want to deal on that tithing matter, we make it look as if it's the weightiest of the matters of the law. Do you follow? That's just by the way. It's not a very trivial, important thing. I'm just bringing out something here. So you find out that from this thing that John says here, he said that we see that not every sin has the same weight. And that's why John says to us in verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. Once you do something and it is not in accordance with the way by which God wants it done, it is a sin. Oh, if I say this, you'll be surprised. We commit sin in that regard, many of us, almost all the time. Do you understand? there's a way you'll address a police officer and you don't recognize his position as an officer on the law and his unrighteousness. And the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. If in this election matter, at least 50% of Christians were sinning all the time. You know, they wake up in the morning, commit. They just wake up and say, let us commit a little bit of sin. Yesterday I was in the office. A man, you know, one of my co-workers in the office saw me and said that, hey, how's it going? I said, we are preparing. I said, the new government to be good. That is, Buhari is coming to power. He looked at me with one kind of eye, like, what do you mean? I said, what are you, what do you mean? You mean you are not praying already for the new president that's coming? He just looked at me as if I should get away. That is unrighteousness. So that man committed what? Sin. That's what it is. All the pastors that campaign from their pulpit, all unrighteousness is what? Sin. But John said, having said that, all right, let me sit and sit on my message. There is a sin that is unto death, and there is one that is not unto death. Just in case you are waiting for me to tell you the one that's unto death and the one that's not unto death, let me warn you ahead of time, I am not planning to do that. Yes, you say, why are you not reading it? I want to bring out the issue that you see, people can actually tap into a certain degree of forgiveness of sin because somebody is praying for them. That's what I'm trying to talk about. I am not sitting down here to talk much about this issue of which one is the sin unto death, the one that is not sin unto death. But I just wanted to bring out the issue that one, sin has different weights, okay? There are sins that literally cause you to die. They kill. There are sins that they don't kill. They hinder your progress in life. They hinder your ability to receive certain blessings from God. And sometimes, all right, this is very important. A lot of times what happens is that somebody can pray and then that the effect of that sin, you will not feel it. I do that for my wife a lot. You understand? I don't know whether she understands it or not to do for me as much as I do for her. Sometimes my wife does something, all right? I will just pray for her. You understand? She doesn't know. In fact, she's surprised with hearing this one. The Lord is good. I just said, what this young woman is doing is not correct, all right? Especially if I say, do this like this, and she was not patient enough to listen to what I'm trying to say, and she does the opposite. I'll just bow my head gently, and I'll say to the Lord, please don't, I just offer what the Bible calls in supplication on her behalf. And that's what John was saying. And listen, you should all do it. You should do it. If your wife, you're a husband especially, you're a very powerful person in the home, all right? If you're a husband, if your wife does something that is wrong, in your opinion at least, don't go around whining and complaining. As God, I don't understand why she behaves like this. Listen, I'm being honest about it. I'm being frank about it. Offer a petition to the Lord against the consequences of disobedience. Because if you don't, she will have to suffer it. I want you to understand that. You see, why I brought this matter up is that, listen, it is crucial you get the point. In fact, let me just quickly get to why I read this, okay? Why I read this is because this is the way God made us as human beings. One of the things he did was to set everybody in connections. The Bible says he sets the solitary in families. It's only those who are rebellious that he says dwell in past places. That is, they stay on their own. If anybody says, I don't have time for anybody, I'll just live on my own, watch it. That fellow will not live very long. Just go and watch it. Just go and watch it. All right? I like what Mike Murdock said. He said, we are all made for connections. He said, if you are not affecting somebody's life, you are not likely to live long. I heard that from Mike Murdock more than 15 years ago. And that's a matter of fact, a spiritual principle. Listen, what sustains your life? Forget all these things that doctors tell you all the time. I'm a doctor, I'm a pathologist, I understand everything they are saying. But listen, you cannot explain why an air conditioner is working if you don't recognize the power of electricity. Do you get my point? Do you understand it? Yes, answer me, do you understand it? Yes, are you nodding like a gamma lizard? The Lord is good. You know, but this is what happens. You know, like now, your air conditioner is working, your television is working, and then maybe somebody came from outer space and does not have the tool for testing electric current. You know what he does? He dissects everything inside the television and explains, as far as he's concerned, why the television is working. But not knowing the power of electricity, whatever explanation he gives you, it may look real, but he has not yet detected the real reason why that thing is working. And that's what happens to human beings. Doctors will say to you, you have to jog so that you have to be healthy. You have to eat less, eat more, eat less of this. And look, listen, I follow the news in that area because it happens to be my profession. And once in a while, when they overturn what they've said for 30 years, I start laughing. I start laughing. There's one new one they brought the other day. I don't want to start talking about it now. I rejected it the first day they said it. I said, this thing cannot be true. It will hold for about 10 years until the political aim is achieved, then they will turn it over again. I'm bringing out something here. What sustains life is not what the doctor is saying. Sometimes people die and they are surprised the person is dead. Listen, because of my profession, once in a while, we have to investigate why people die. And it happens sometimes. In fact, it's recognized in forensic pathology that you can write that cause of death undetermined. And they will do all kinds of studies once in a while. And the one thing about, let me just quickly say something to you about my science. If we always find the most abnormal thing to say is the cause of death, even though we recognize that 10 million people are alive with that thing. But since we can't find any other reason why this man died, we just look for something that's small, abnormal. Do you follow my point? And say this is why he died. The truth is that what sustains life is not that physical thing. There is something spiritual that sustains life. I was listening to one man preach. His name just escaped me now. John Paul something. It just escaped me now. All right, but he was saying something about one of the brothers that he had, one of their brothers, that this man died at an airport suddenly. He went to go and pick somebody, and he just died. Nothing was found that was wrong with him. The doctors worked on him for hours. He said just a few weeks before, about a week before, he just completed something like a quintathlon, they call it. You know what they call it? Decathlon. You know, like you do a athletics of 10 events. That's a decathlon. This guy did the one of, I think, 6 events. This was a seasoned athlete. A week later, he just dropped and he died. I was reading the news today, and they mentioned one, I'm not a very good sports follower, but they mentioned one particular, I think a footballer, who dropped, well, he's unconscious now, but he dropped on the field, I think yesterday. Those of you who watch football, you may know what I'm talking about. I don't know any details, all right? I don't know the name, I don't know the club, I just know it's somewhere, I think in Europe, or is it South America? I think it's Europe. The man just dropped on the field, and they said he's one of he just passed all the fitness tests a few weeks before. One of the fittest athletes they have around, and he just dropped. You can jog around Okpara Square all you want. That does not increase. Listen, people, doctors will tell you that you will live longer. It's a lie. If you have been cursing your father since the day you were born, you will still die the day you're supposed to die. If you like, jog from now to from here to Onitsha and back. If I want you are jogging, a trailer will jam you for road, kill you for your father. Do you forget what man is saying? Death is never an accident. Death is never an accident. Jog from now till tomorrow, the day you are supposed to die, you will die. You will die from something else. Death is never an accident. Please, I'm trying to sit on my message. I'm just trying to bring out an issue. So that's how what sustains life is spiritual. And that's why Mike Murdock said that, listen, you can't live in isolation. The positive force of life coming from people that love you, if it's not present, you drop. You drop. What I've told you is a matter of fact. What I'm emphasizing is the fact that we are made for connections. If I let me digress. Somebody please beg me to digress. I need to digress. Yes, I like you. I'm happy. I have your permission. I want to talk about false prophets, witches, and wizards. I'll quickly make the point I want to make before I go to talking about the false prophets, witches, and wizards. Let me quickly tell you something. I'm talking about the fact. Now, what I'm saying now, so that this doesn't get too scattered, is that we are all made for connections. The power to sustain your life, you'll be surprised. God has placed it in the hands of some other people. And you are part of the people that are sustaining somebody else's life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes, sir.
Please understand that clearly. Tell your neighbor, wake up. Tell the person, wake up. Do your work, who? Put the O behind them. Tell the person, do your work.
Do your work.
I'm serious. Somebody may die because you are not doing what you are supposed to do. That's what I mean by wake up. You know, I said I wanted to talk about what? False prophets. God will punish them. He has to. Even if I know anyone, I'll pray for the person. I don't know any particularly. The Lord, you know, there are things people do, and it is evil. One of the things that God hates is the one who separates brothers. who separates families. God says, I hate such people. You know, my wife ordered something that somebody sent to her to our mailing group the other day. That a statement from the mouth of Socrates. Was it Socrates? And he said, somebody walked up to Socrates and said, hey, I want to tell you something about, let's just put a name, about Emeka. So Socrates said, before you start, let's go through it. Three things. What you're about to tell me, is it true? Socrates, the fellow said, Socrates, I'm not sure. I just heard it, I've not verified. It's all right. And you want to tell me what you are not sure is true. Let's try another one. That thing you are saying, is it good? No, it's actually a bad thing about Emeka. So the man said, okay. Two things. One, you don't know whether it's true, and it is bad. And you don't want to tell me. Okay, let's see the third one, whether it will be able to tell me. He said, is it going to help me in relating with this man? Is it helpful? And the man said, well, really, not really. He said, so it's not, you're not sure it's true, it is not good, and it's not helpful. And why do you still want to tell me? Let's make a long story short. When you tell, you are separating relationships. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That's what I'm trying to emphasize. That's one of the ways by which the devil works. I've not forgotten that I said I want to talk about what? False prophets, witches, and wizards. Good. Some people have prayed for me in this life. There are some heavy prayers. The prayer from my mother can kill you if you are trying to harm me. I'm not kidding about that. My mother will be 76 very soon, and I know she prays for me every single day. There is no day she doesn't pray for me. I'm sure of that. There's no day she won't pray for me, pray for my wife, pray for my children. I'm very certain. And let me tell you the truth. I told something before, and I'm not kidding about it. My mother prays for me as a habit, all right? I'm her son. She's proud of what I do as a preacher. She's one person that every Saturday morning, she's tuned her TV, put on the what they call Omega channel, to watch me teaching. There was a day Omega made some errors on our broadcast. She called me. Hey! They didn't finish it, though. That is, if my phone rings like 7:45 on a Saturday morning, I know there is a problem with our broadcast if it's my mother that's calling. That's the only reason she'll call me at 7:45, because the broadcast is supposed to last till 8. So if she calls by 7:45, there is a problem. The broadcast didn't end when it's supposed to end, and she wants to let me know. Now, so she prays for me. Apart from that, I make her glad. Yesterday, she called me. If I was making a joke, I was in my general office in the office. That's in UNTH, in the hospital, and I was about to leave. So the departmental secretary from the college came there, so we're talking, and my phone rang, and it was my mother. So I was just making a joke that, hey, my mother wants to be sure I'm fine. Maybe fire burned somewhere in Oji River. She wants to be sure, you know. We're just joking about it. So, and I picked the call. So my secretary was saying that, come on, answer the woman. Answer how? You know, the way women will just join, conspire against us. You know, that kind of thing. Say, answer how? So I was like, so of course, I was standing there when I took the call. So they could hear my own side of the discussion. So I didn't even know that she said it later. That look at it now, are you not happy? I said, what do you mean? He said, I heard you saying, ami, 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 ami. Which is just Yoruba for amen, amen, amen. He said, obviously she was praying for you. It's true. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, you know why? I'm going somewhere. She called me to tell me that her generator is working. And you wonder why? She said, because I know you. She knows I'm going to Benin, all right, very soon. And she knows the kind of thing. Last week when we spoke, she mentioned something about generator not working. She just expected that if I don't call this guy, he will buy another one. He will get there. And next thing is that they will just call me from the park. Please come and pick your generator. She said, I know what you can do. So because she mentioned a few days ago that her generator was not working, she does the normal thing I would do. It's just to go and buy another. I told her before, don't repair it. Just take the old one, dash somebody, let me know. I send you another one. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So, apart from the fact that it's a duty as a mother, she does that, all right? She's a Christian, so she prays for me. Of course, I'm not the only one she prays for, but I know she prays for me every day. But part of it that makes it easy is that actually make her glad. I like one thing somebody said about Isaac. He said before Isaac was going to bless Esau, he told Esau, go and make for me that my venison. That thing that you make, you know, I like the way you roast it. That when I finish eating it, my soul will be glad, I will be lifted, and I will pour a blessing upon you. There's one man of God that I respected so much. Of course, he's passed on now. That's why I use the word respected, all right? Still, I respect his memory exceedingly. One day, he called me. As soon as I picked the phone, he didn't say, hello. Okay, bank, is that you? He didn't say anything like that. As soon as I picked the phone, he started pouring blessings. A blessing was raining. I remember I just drove into my compound. So I just parked. I remember when the phone rang, I was just still in my car when I picked the call. He just said, God will bless you. He will anoint you. He will raise his hand. That is, the man, I don't know how long he spoke. All I could just say is, amen, amen, amen. Why? That's the question. I think he just woke up one day and said, that man, let me pray for him, that young boy, so that he will increase in ministry. No. I remembered him after a while that this man labored for the ministry. So, until he died, very regularly, my wife and I discussed it. We just take money, wire to him. So, the man was always getting it. One day, just picked his phone and said, what is going on here? That's what I mean when I'm talking about provoking, do you understand? Blessings. Remember, I'm talking about false prophets, witches, and what? Is that good? Why am I telling all this, saying all these things? When, you know, you must understand, Satan is Satan. He's a tempter. He's an accuser. He does not have one iota of power. One like this. One, you know? One. He doesn't have. People think he does. He doesn't have. That's why they keep on saying, oh, the Satan that said I will not progress. This year, he will fail. Whether you say it or not, he was going to fail because he doesn't have the ability. That's why you didn't see the church pray like that. All the witches that are against me, you will not succeed. It's a waste of time. For example, I have never said all the cotton wool that wants to fall from the sky on my head, you won't break my head. Have you heard that prayer from my mouth before? All the years we've been praying here. And he said, today you are going to declare that as the cotton wool is raining from heaven, none of it will crack your skull. Have you heard that kind of prayer before? But have you never heard a prayer that no stray bullet will kill you? You've heard that kind of prayer. Because you've heard of people that stray bullet killed. I have seen stray bullet killing people. But by virtue of my work. So when people pray, even me, I'll pray. As you go about, the angels of God will guard you. I've never thought they should guard you against falling cotton wool. That's how soft the power of the devil and all these witches you are afraid of. That's how soft the powers they have. All right? That's how soft it is. They can't harm you. And I say, are you totally sure? I know where you are going. Or what they're asking, and I'll answer it. The only thing they do is make accusations. The only judge of the universe is God in heaven. Nobody, I don't care how wicked you are spiritually, can do anything against anybody apart from make accusations. People usually are punished for their sins. All unrighteousness is what? Sin. You can be punished for telling somebody, waka. Something you do every day. Yes. There are things you do that are deserving of death. If nobody is praying for you. Your life will just scatter recklessly if nobody is praying for you. I'm going somewhere. Even if you are an unbeliever, this same principle applies. That's why I've talked about the third heaven operations for Christians. We don't go to the realm of I have done, I have not done. We just hide in Christ Jesus. So whatever we do, we don't do. We are hiding in Christ. Do you understand my point? But let's come out from those who are active believers. Let's just talk generally about spiritual principles. Now, why I said this is this. For that reason, no witch, no wizard, no devil can do anything against you except there is a place for them to hold. That's number one. That's why Jesus said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. That was the principle behind it. He now said, I'm going to suffer what I'm going to suffer because I'm laying down my life in obedience to the commandment of the Father. Otherwise, this prince of this world is coming, but there's nothing he can do. In the same manner, when Satan wants to come, that when the devil, I'm choosing the word devil now, when his agents want to come, they need a place to hold in your life. They need. Now, one of the things that keep you safe, listen to this. That's why I told the story about my mother. One of the things that keep you safe in life are the people that are praying for you. And you will see as we go on, the Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer, King James says, of a righteous man. Amplify use the word heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man avails much. What does that mean? Things that don't touch you, your ability to pray against them is weak. It's very weak. It's not totally zero, but it's very weak. The way you pray for somebody you love, the effect it has is not the same as you pray for somebody who sent you an email. Please pray for me. You will pray, but the thing they weak, small. I'm going somewhere. So you find out that many people in life, very few people are actually praying for them. About the only person many people have praying for them is their mother. He's not kind to anybody else. In the market, they hate him. In his house where he's living in a block of 8 flats, the way he parks his car, the other people can't reverse easily, so they hate him. In the school that his children are going to, he has never dashed one of the teachers anything. If anything, he makes trouble for them. In church, the pastor does not even know he's there. In fact, maybe it's the Reverend Father. The Reverend Father doesn't know he comes. So whether he comes, he goes. The guy comes for 5:30 mass. By 6:30, he has closed. That's all the church is getting for 1 week. He doesn't even take communion. So no personal contact with the Reverend Father at all. So the Reverend Father is not praying for him. The only person that prays for him is his mother. His father doesn't like him. Or maybe the father is dead. The only person praying for him is his mother. Now, I hope you are following my train of thoughts. When the enemy of his soul, Satan, wants to kill him, when the people in the market that don't like him want to kill him, when the people that are angry with him, they are struggling for position, one particular position in the, in the Omata Association, you understand what I'm saying? The leadership. When they want to injure him, because sometimes people want to do that. There are people who actually literally want to kill you. Yes. But what I just keep on saying, if you're a Christian, don't worry about them. You know what I'm saying? Don't worry. There are people, there are pastors that even don't even want me because I'm spoiling business. You know the way I talk? I'm spoiling business. Because if I'm allowed to flourish, offerings will suffer. Except that if indeed I flourish, offerings will actually increase. But they don't know. So you see, it happens. However, those people, when they go to calls, they go to shrine, people actually go. They do such things. Not only in Nigeria, they do it in America too. Don't think only black men, they go shrine. Go and see white man do shrine. They do medicine for money also. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. Now, but there's a reason why I said that, all right? I want you to follow it. The reason is because when such people now want to harm these people, which actually happens all over the world, they really can't do anything more than raise accusations. And these accusations are counterbalanced by the intercessions that are going up to the throne of God against those accusations. This is a matter of fact. This is a general principle of life. There's a special advantage you have if you know how to hide in Christ. You understand? There's a special advantage. So this fellow, you must understand, God loves everybody. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, God loves you. You understand that? And then God is just. He's a fair judge. He's very just. So they will say, this man must die. But then God will look and see his mother, who goes to church, praying for this unbelieving boy. And she says, from the bottom of her heart, Lord, have mercy on my son. And the Lord turns to the spirits that have come in accusation. And he says to them, no, he won't die. Why? Because he looks to the right and hears, Lord, have mercy on my son. Do you get my point? Now, this is what Satan does. And that's why I'm talking about false prophets, witches, and wizards. When I was a youth, I was in my national service. I told you the story before, I was manning the military, what they call the MIR, medical inspection room, then somewhere in Taraba State, in a military barracks. And then, but the clinic served the village. I told this story since I one of my books, all right? And there was this woman, very pretty Fulani woman that used to come with her children, all right, to the clinic. She used to, weave her hair in like four locks, you know, like Absalom. You know, I remember her very well. Then one day, she showed up. Let me make a long story short. She had what I diagnosed as typhoid fever. She perforated her gut. She was critically ill. She became unconscious. Her kidneys packed up. And I was the highest ranking doctor, you know. That is how badly staffed the place was. And the only experience I had was my year of internship. I was now doing my national service. So I didn't have all the experience. And it was now night. The closest referral hospital is manned by people like me. So the closest hospital where they will get somebody better than me is they have to go to Jalingo. And that was like 3 or 4 hours journey from there. And this was night. So I called the husband and explained to him that this is a difficult case. Your wife's life is in danger. I've done the best that I can do. But something struck me that, this Satan, did he smoke something? This is my clinic. So I went home. They were Muslims. I couldn't pray for them there. I didn't even ask permission. I just went home. And I remember that day, I prayed for about 40, 45 minutes. My flatmate was a pharmacist, all right? In fact, there was a time he opened the door like, what's going on in there? When he saw me in the agony of prayer, he shut the door and left. And I prayed intensely for this woman. At the end of about 45 minutes, I felt some relief. So I got up. I went to the clinic later. I don't know whether later that evening or the next day. And to my, I was surprised. I didn't expect that kind of dramatic reaction, really. The woman had woken up from her coma. Her kidneys had started working. And she turned to me and asked something. And she was speaking only Fufu Day. All right. So I just, someone interpreted from that. She said, she's hungry. I said, you're hungry. I was so excited. You're hungry. I said, no problem. I'm happy you're hungry, but you won't get any food. Well, there's a reason for it. The intestine, I thought it perforated, so you still have to watch it for a while. So I have to be sure it starts moving before she can put anything inside. So I said, all right. I was so glad. I was dancing all over the barracks. I said, the day I discharge this woman, I'm going to give myself a treat. Next day I came, she was getting better. The day after that I came, her bed was empty. I still remember very well, the soldier on duty, the name was Galadima. I remember very well, because the way I screamed Galadima from there, the guy ran in. I said, where is she? He said, Oga, sorry, he forgot to tell me. That the husband came at 7:08, around 6:37 in the morning, and normally coming around 9. That the man came and said that the native doctor said it was poison they gave her. So the man has come to take the woman to go to the native doctor's place. And instantly, I just saw it play out in my mind what happened. I imagine the spirit telling me, Pastor, Shebi, you say it's your hospital, Abi? We have taken her away. Yes, it was as if I was hearing them laughing. I stood like this. And I looked, I said, Galadima, why didn't you send for me first? He didn't even think of it. Because I was living in the barracks. You could just tell somebody, okay, please, go and call Doug for me. They walked down to my house in 2 minutes. 2 minutes, in fact, that one, I would have run down in my shorts, say, if you, you know. I would have got the idea. But of course, these are spiritual things. They just took the woman and took her away. I just said to myself, she's dead. Death is a spirit. That death wanted to kill this woman. For whatever reason, I don't know the details. Then, they afflicted her very harshly with that terrible condition and brought her to my clinic. Then I had the presence of mind to say, not here. And when they said, you said not here, no problem. They went and told the husband, you want her to die, eh? We can't kill her while that black guy is there supervising. His intercession is based on jurisdiction. So take her away from where he has jurisdiction. And then we can have a field day. So the guy arose early in the morning. Of course, he didn't know what he was obeying. He just took that woman and took her away. A week later, she was dead. These things are real. You know why I told this story? Because this is how things... Go and read my book, please. By Faith Acquire Life. I describe some of these things inside there. This is how these things play out in the realm of the spirit. Back to the story I was telling about one man that people want to kill. So what happens is that they can't do anything against this woman. In fact, against this man. So they say why? They look around and say, somebody is praying for him. That's what I'm talking about, false prophets. So what do we do? They say, separate him from the person that is praying for him. Because he doesn't know God. Because he doesn't understand the word of God. You know what he does? One day, this is how they do. His goods are coming from Lagos. The truck has an accident. He loses a few thousands of naira. A few weeks later, the goods are coming again, another accident. Then he goes home one day, his son has set a bedsheet on fire by accident, but they managed to quell the fire. Somebody now comes, possessed by a spirit, and says to him, this thing is not normal, though. This is not ordinary eye. Ojula sanko. What does he do? Let us go and do what? Pray. And then they drag him to a false prophet. And the prophet says to him, in summary, do you have a mother? You know, he won't say you have a mother. He says, you have a mother. I say, who doesn't have a mother? And he says, they say to him, your mother is in the village. He says, yes. 3 weeks ago, you bought her new lace for Mother's Day. He says, yes. A week after, your first truck had his accident. The guy says, yes. You sent her money about 2 weeks ago. No, about maybe 1 week ago. He says, yes. 3 days later, your second truck had an accident. The man, no, he's drawing back. Yes. Did you not promise her that when you are coming back home, you are going to bring bedsheets for the village house? He says, yes. 2 days later, your son set the bedsheet on fire in your house in Onitsha. By that time, his hand is folded. So, prophet, what are you saying? Sorry, my brother, your mother is a witch. What are we going to do? It's those things you are giving her that she's carrying to the coven. That is why you are having problems. The man doesn't want to have problems. You too don't want to have problems. So the first thing he does is what? He stops supporting the woman. And whether she likes it or not, the intensity of her prayer wanes. Not because she's dependent on the money, but because she's wondering what is going on. Her heart is no longer glad and excited as it used to be. You don't come to the throne of grace with grumbling and complaining and whining. She always comes without joy in her heart. So the Satan, so one Satan says, why don't you tell God what is going on? Then she makes the mistake and goes to God. I don't know what's going to happen with my son Emeka. And then she begins to accuse him before the presence of God. And she says, he doesn't send me money again. The spirit tells God, can't you hear? It's been 6 months now that I ate anything that Emeka paid for. She thinks she's just, you know, grieving, but she's actually accusing him. The only place where she had intercession coming up to the throne of God, the false prophet has effectively cut it off. The guy is exposed thoroughly. 2 years later, he gets a tumor. They treat him up and down, do this and that, he doesn't get better. A few days later, he has a stroke. Then the guy is totally weakened. He's at home. He can't do anything.